Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running on Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius Channel 159. Big week of NFL action. Week number 7. Nothing better. Lisi in the cockpit taking you through all the matchups. Great news, though, in the final hour of this show, the final segment, about 9:40 in that area, give or take. We will be breaking down best bets. So Carver will be calling in on that. So keep an eye out for that. We got you locked and loaded with all the marquee big battles. We'll talk about San Francisco and Cleveland, talk about Seattle and Cincinnati. This is really the week where it's make it or break it time for some teams. They're on the cusp. They lose this weekend, they could fall off the cliff. For others, they could rebound in a big way. So team to potentially look at is a team like Cincinnati, laying 2.5 against Seattle. They get the victory over Arizona. That's a game they should have won. Now a 3-1 football team coming to the jungle. This is an opportunity for Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and more importantly, that defense to make a statement and show that the Bengals are still one of the best teams in terms of the NFL. On the flip side, we saw Denver lose on Thursday night. They're in a complete fire sale, a complete spiral. That sort of fits the mold of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. They're on the road to face off against Las Vegas as we welcome in our Sirius XM radio audience to Carver and Lisi, NFL action week number 7. A very important week for the NFL. We saw it start on Thursday night. Kansas City grinds out a 19-8 win over Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. For Denver, they're in a complete fire sale and spiral. For Kansas City, all they do is win, baby. They are the chameleons of the NFL. You want to play an up-tempo, high-scoring game? Yeah, we could do that. You want to grind it out and utilize the rushing attack and short to intermediate passes and defense? Yeah, we could play that style too. And that's what makes Kansas City so lethal. You look at that ball game the other night, Pat Mahomes makes 300 yards look seamless and effortless. It's amazing. He throws for 306. Kelce, a 127 on 9 receptions. So there's the potential this week for teams to either progress and go hockey stick in terms of just, you know, flying up, or the potential to fall off the cliff. And what I mean by that is a team like Cincinnati that squares off against Seattle, a team like New England that has their backs on against the wall, that has no identity. They lose this game to Josh McDaniels and the Las Vegas Raiders. Season's over for Bill Belichick. Worst season in history for the Patriots under the Belichick regime, knowing that they were a 7.5 win total, knowing that they were potentially one of the better teams to bet on to make it to a NFL playoff appearance. That is where the New England Patriots are. No offensive identity, no offensive firepower. You get blown out by Dallas, you get blown out by New Orleans. You go on the road to Las Vegas and you get kicked in the chops by your former assistant that did it to you last year, by the way. Now this team is in a complete downward spiral and Belichick has to answer some questions. There's a couple of coaches like that, though. His apprentice and former player, Mike Vrabel, and Tennessee, another team, backs against the wall. They face off early against Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. What are they going to do? They limped into Indianapolis last week. They had the opportunity to beat down a worn-out Colts front seven that gave up a ton of yards on the ground to Kyren Williams and the L.A. Rams, and Vrabel decides to utilize old man Tannehill to attack that secondary, and they lose the ballgame to Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson. It was an amazing game plan by Tennessee, and I understand that the Colts potentially were stacking the box. I get that. But you have Derrick Henry, and he only touches the ball 11, 13 times for 43 yards. You're wasting your biggest asset, and you're putting the football in the hands of an inconsistent quarterback that has no speed on the perimeter outside DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins had a big day, but you're still lost. Your back is against the wall. Tennessee loses this ball game. Vrabel has to answer some questions. On the flip side for Baltimore, this is a team that was thought at in the first couple weeks of the season. This was going to be the next best team. This was going to be the Cincinnati to take over because of the weapons that they had. They draft Zay Flowers. They bring in OBJ. You have Rashad Bateman. You have Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson gets his money. And you lose last week in the final 2 minutes of that ballgame. Receivers dropping balls. Lamar Jackson inconsistent, still not confident, knowing where he wants to go with the football, not challenging defenses consistently over the top, not stretching them, which can open up the RPO game. But in this ballgame, in terms of the early kick, I can only look to Lamar Jackson in this spot. You have an offense that has the better quarterback. You have the better coach in John Harbaugh, in my opinion, over Vrabel. You have a team that at least has some semblance of an offensive identity, as opposed to a team that just seems to wing it each and every week in terms of the Tennessee Titans. And if you're not going to utilize your best weapon, what are you doing in terms of this matchup? They fall behind yet again against Lamar in this type of situation. I think it could get ugly. I could see Baltimore winning this ballgame 13 to 17 points. I'm just not sold in terms of what Mike Vrabel has done. They draft Will Levis. Didn't pan out. He can't even make it outside of practice. Malik Willis, he might be your best option if you're a Titan fan, and they don't even want to utilize him in terms of getting on to the football field. It's amazing in terms of what this mindset is for the Tennessee Titans. They're very good against the run, but that secondary could be abused. Gardner Minshew attacked them. Anthony Richardson completed his first 9 of 12 attempts before he got hurt. This could be a breakout game for Lamar on the ground. Lamar through the air, something he did not do last week on the road in Pittsburgh. I can only look Baltimore. I can only look potentially to the under because I don't think Tennessee is going to score. I'd be shocked if Tennessee puts up more than 17 points on the Baltimore Ravens in this ballgame. I could see Baltimore winning it 28 to 10, something in that regard. I think it's going to be an ugly game, but like the Ravens early on in terms of this matchup. We're just getting started, baby. NFL action's on the horizon. When we come back, we'll dive into more odds for the NFL right here on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. That's it, baby. Danger Zone. That's it. 8,000 RPMs. We're redlining it. Right here on Carver and Lisi. NFL week number 7, getting you prepped and ready. And I got to tell you, I was entering the danger zone last week after Carver put the kibosh on me. 1-3 overall. The only game I won was Cincinnati. I was knocking on the door with the Giants, Tyrod Taylor. All you got to do is dive, man. Dive. It's 4th-and-3. You got to get it. You got to get the backdoor cover. What was Kafka thinking? And he's got a 3rd-and-3 inside the Dolphin, like 18-yard line. He runs an off tackle on 4th-and-3 with 1.5 minutes left. Put the ball at the
Tyrod. He thinks we're going to run it.
Mateus, terrible. He runs it, sets up the 4th-and-3, then Tyrod Taylor escapes, and he gets like 2.5 yards. I lose it. It's amazing. But now that you jumped in, I'll talk about this game because Commanders in Atlanta, will get your take on it, and then we'll go back to the Niners and Browns. 2.5, and I know Des Ritter stepped up, and you throw out all the stats. He's undefeated in Cincinnati, undefeated as a Falcon at home. Why is it only 2.5, Matias? It should be over the key number at 3. Washington sucks. Ron Rivera sucks. We know this. I mean, again, fire Ron Rivera. Give the reins to Eric Bieniemy. At least allow him to develop that offense and allow EB to be the coach next year, and you might have something. That being said, I still think the Commanders are the side. I think they win it outright. You don't see it that way, do you?
No, I definitely don't think that way. You know, I'm not trying to be biased. I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm just letting you know that I think the Falcons right now are coming into this game with some momentum. And when you have that momentum on your side and you have a brand new locker room to a degree, you know what I mean? There's not a bunch of guys who've been losing with the Atlanta Falcons for the last 5 years. You know, this team is definitely has been grown from the ground up. And, you know, they haven't bought expensive players to come to their team. They've got this thing, through the draft with Ritter, with Pitts, with Drake London. And we're finally starting to see the fruits of their labor. You know, if anything, Joe, the Falcons invested in their defense. And I think their defense has been actually their best focal point of the year so far. It's been the defense that's been making big stops for the Atlanta Falcons this season when they've needed it, at most. Thinking of the games that they've won this season, in the first quarter, they haven't had the ball, and they have made fourth down stops on opening possessions in scoring territory. And when a defense, creates a turnover early in the first quarter and gives the offense some momentum, they've been capitalizing on those moments in the game, Joe. And that's really been the difference with the Falcons this season. And I think that Howell's going to throw a couple of interceptions in this game on Sunday. You know, Bates, Terrell, Richie Grant, they're all over there in the backfield right now. And they've been making plays. I got to give them credit.
All right. So here we go. Richie Grant, great standout at UCF. All right, let's talk about this quick. I'll give you two numbers. You tell me under or over. Does Des Ritter have to get over his passing total of 203.5 to win this game?
Yes, they definitely he has to go over 203.5. And I do think actually that's a great number, Joe. I thought it'd be a little higher. I would definitely take Des Ritter over 203.5 yards passing yards this Sunday against the Commanders. Right. I almost said their old name.
Oh man. Well, Sam Howell is 238.5. I think he rips them. I think he's in the 250s, 260s at least. I think Howell's getting there. I'll give you one more. So if Ritter, let's say, throws for his usual, outside of last week, which was the outlier, let's say he throws for his typical 190, right? Does Bijan get over 70 rushing yards in this game?
It depends, Joe. They've been using Tyler Allgeier a lot, the Falcons have, and that's why they've been so balanced. They're not trying to overuse Bijan Robinson. I see so many fantasy guys all clamoring on, to Arthur Smith saying, why the hell aren't you playing Bijan so much? It's a long season, Joe. The Falcons don't plan on not going to the playoffs this year. I think they plan on actually making a wild card and making a run and seeing how far they can get with this team. And if they're going to do that, they need to invest in Bijan and not give him 25 carries a game, because if they give him that many carries a game, he's going to get hurt by week 10. You know, they have Tyler Allgeier in the background, and who rushed for over 1,000 yards last season as a rookie. So it's all about balance with this team, Joe. Do I think Bijan will get over 15 carries? I do think Bijan will get over 15 carries, and I do think he will have over 75 yards all purpose, receiving and rushing. But it's been tough for me to say with confidence that Bijan is going to go over his rushing prop right now, just based off of balance with this team.
You're waffling. I'll wait for Carver to get back. I'm going to squash you both. I'm taking Washington on the money line. I'm taking Washington plus the 2.5, and I'm taking the over 42.5. I can only look Washington. I think they have way too many weapons. At least the one thing they have is consistency with Howell, McLaurin. You saw Curtis Samuel getting involved in garbage time. I like Washington in this spot. How about this one? We'll talk about this one because this one I think is intriguing. At the start of the week when Deshaun Watson was going to start, it was a 3-point spread in favor of the 49ers. It inched up to 5. Then we saw a key number of 6, 6.5 right under the key number of 7. It was told that P.J. Walker would get the start. Once that was confirmed, we've seen a ton of money and a ton of action coming in on San Fran to push this number up to 9.5. They're minus 490 in terms of the money line. They dominate Dallas last week. Excuse me. Total is 35.5. I'll say this. This is a tricky spot for San Fran to cover. Do I think they're going to lose? No. But I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think the front seven of Cleveland and Myles Garrett can contain Christian McCaffrey and those running backs to at least allow P.J. Walker opportunities to score some points. Now, if P.J. Walker is clean with the football, throws for a Desmond Ridder 180, no touchdowns, no interceptions, that's fine. Just don't throw 3 picks like Dorian Thompson-Robinson did last week. If that happens, I like Cleveland. I think it looks like this, Matias, a 17-9 game. I think, you know, there's no doubt that potentially San Fran gets pushed, but I think in red zone opportunities, PJ opts for field goals. He can't lead them on any touchdowns. And this is a game that San Francisco wins ugly. They win, but Cleveland does backdoor the number 17-9 in terms of that aspect. Do you see that happening, or are you going all in with the 49ers based off of last week?
Joe, I got to go with the 49ers minus 9.5, and I know it's a scary number. Don't get me wrong. I looked at this game for a long time today, and it's definitely one of the trickiest games out of all the games on the slate this week, you know, no doubt. And the thing, when I see the number, I see 36 points. You know, it's been going back and forth right around the number of 36. And to me, I wonder if Cleveland could score over 6 points in this game. If Cleveland scores over 6 points in this game, I think this game's going over. You know, I think that Vegas expects San Francisco to score just about 30 points, you know, by the end of this game. Is it going to be a dirty game? Absolutely. Is it going to be a low-scoring game? Yeah, for the Browns, you know, it's going to be a low-scoring game. I just wonder how long they could contain the San Francisco 49ers for. You know, this Cleveland Browns team is going to be reeling from the beginning of the game until the end of the game. You know, at what point does the bridge break? You know what I mean? At what point do they just start giving up points? Because they eventually will be, you know, gassed out towards the end of this game. I just wonder what the score is going to be at that point.
I still like Cleveland here. Everybody, here we go. Craig Geo, I'm talking to you, guy. How about that? San Francisco homer, yeah, I know. Brock Montana, they're good. They're not elite. They play the Eagles now. I think the Eagles win. How about that? I said it. That's right. I said it. I'm still leading Browns in terms of this ballgame. Styles make fights. And I think this is a pretty intriguing game because of how Cleveland's defense can play. They need to bring their A game. It's not going to be easy, but I think they backdoored somehow, some way. We'll come back. We'll get you prepped and ready for the Carolina-Miami game coming up next on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's it. We're rocking on NFL action here on Carver and Lisi. Matias Burbell, the mixologist on the show. You name it. He's got it. What do you want? Old school? Want a little rock? Techno? Heck, we even throw some country in on this show. We love it, Carver and Lisi here. Left off talking about Atlanta and the Commanders, Cleveland and San Francisco. Big game. I say big game in Miami, right? Devon Achane is out. He's on the IR. Jeff Wilson comes back to solidify the rushing attack with Raheem Mostert. You saw Tua struggle a little bit with interceptions last week against the New York Giants. Now, the thing that the Giants did that was pretty interesting is that they mixed up some zone and man-to-man coverage. The problem with Wink Martindale is that he did it at different times in critical junctures to put his team at a disadvantage. How you play man-to-man coverage on Tyreek Hill on the outside and give up a 65-yard touchdown with no safety over the top is absolutely mind-numbing to me. How Wink Martindale thought that that was a good matchup. You got to be kidding. It's not only that. You're playing man-to-man coverage and you're not even bumping. They're playing soft. They're playing soft man-to-man. They don't bump Tyreek Hill off the line. He gets a clean break and a clean release and he blows your defense apart for 65 yards over the top. Come on, man. That being said, Carolina is in a tough spot. And they're in a tough spot because I think they have a horrible head coach in Frank Reich. I thought he was good a couple years ago, actually 3 years ago when they were on the road with Phillip Rivers. I thought he was a pretty good game planner. He had his teams up and ready. But I'll tell you what, he is not the quarterback whisperer. Frank Reich, former quarterback, that's great. In terms of his tenure as a head coach, has not coached up the quarterbacks. He drafted Jacob Eason, bust. He drafted Sam Ehlinger, backup. Couldn't coach them up to the next level. And then this is the guy that we're going to cultivate with Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner. Get real, Carolina. Like, seriously. He gets rid of Matt Corral, the only quarterback on that roster before Bryce Young was there that actually had a stitch of athleticism and ability he got rid of. So you tell me. The problem is Miles Sanders will not play. He's banged up. What does this offense do? They're going up against one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. The ability for Mike McDaniel and that offense to out-game plan and out-scheme you is ridiculous. He utilizes motion. He does a great job of getting his playmakers involved in one-on-one opportunities out in space. He looks for that, and that's why they have speed at every level. That's why I actually think the loss to Achane will hurt this offense a little bit in terms of the rushing attack because of how they like to run sideline to sideline. I understand Mostert runs a 4-3 as well, but Achane is the sprinter. Achane is the one that they utilize on fly sweeps. Achane is the one that they come, just like Tyreek Hill, to create mismatches in terms of the screen game and the rushing attack. That absence will hurt this offense to a degree. Will it hurt it to where Carolina has a shot to win? No. But I think Carolina, if they throw the football, and you saw it last week when Daniel Jones had time, that the Giants moved the football. They moved it with Tyrod Taylor. They moved it with Daniel Jones. Waller had some catches. Wandale Robinson got involved. I think Carolina and DJ Chark potentially could have a big day. Chark, now, Bryce Young throws for 3 touchdowns, but the game was already in doubt last week against Detroit. Can we start a game being aggressive, Frank Reich? Can you get, you know, can you have some stones and throw caution to the wind and stop coaching like you actually think you're going to make the playoffs? You're in a complete rebuild. You have a rookie quarterback that excels in terms of the 2-minute drill, that excels with 5 wide. Why don't we try and do that first? Throw Bryce Young, make him chuck it 50 times in this ballgame. Again, big spreads. We know about the record this year with Joe Poe. Just lay it blindly. I'm taking the points with Carolina. It's 2 touchdowns now. 47.5, I lean to the under. They'll mix in the run enough. And I don't think the Panthers' defense, in terms of the secondary, even though they got ripped by Detroit, playing against Miami, I think they step up, make enough plays to cover the 14.5-point number. We'll go to Chicago, Minnesota. Gutless last week, and I understand that the penalty or non-call had something to do with that. But no Justin Jefferson. You have a quarterback that you want to get rid of in terms of Kirk Cousins. You have a head coach that sucks, too, in terms of Kevin O'Connell. That, yeah, he wins 13 games, but he doesn't know when to utilize the rush, Matthias. I mean, come on. You're telling me you feel confident laying the 3 points against Chicago? Don't tell me you like Minnesota here.
No, no, not at all, actually. I think Chicago has a good game. I think Justin Fields throws for 3 touchdowns at least this week again, Joe. I really do. I'm with you on the Bears. I really am. I'm just not with you with the Carolina Panthers. I think they get smoked.
All right, it's possible. I've been wrong before. Here's the thing, Matthias. You want to take a guess on what Justin Fields' number is entering this game?
It's over 2.5 touchdowns thrown. I'd probably say minus
yards.
125.
What do you think his yards total is?
Rushing?
No. Passing.
Oh, I'd say probably 220.
191.5. You want to talk about disrespectful? You want to talk about disrespectful? How about Justin Fields' alt? Justin Fields 250 plus at plus 410. How about that? Let's get a little juicy. What do you think about that, Matthias? And you know what? 2 plus touchdowns is 182. You want to parlay it? If you parlay it, it's plus 719. $50 will give you 360. What do you think about that, Matthias?
I like it, Joe. I like it. I like it. This is the best moments of the Bears been in all season. You know what I mean?
I think
this team. Well, I wonder what happened with this Bears team. You know, once they let go of Claypool, you could tell that they're starting to trim the fat in that locker room right now. You know, they're trying to find the believers and the non-believers, in my opinion. And right now, they have a locker room that's starting to believe a little bit. So I just wonder what's going to happen after this last victory that they got. You know, Justin Fields has thrown for almost 4 touchdowns, 2 games in a row now, right, Joe? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, 3. 4 back-to-back. He's thrown 8 in back-to-back weeks.
That's amazing. And to think of what he did last weekend on Thursday Night Football, where he was throwing the ball all around the yard from the second that the game started until the second the game ended. You know what I'm saying? He even missed some passes in the beginning. Remember you were going crazy when he couldn't find Mooney?
Yep. I agree. So you tell me. It just seems odd to me. That's what you got in regards to this number and in regards to everything. I love Justin Fields. I think he's proven his ability. You want to give me 3 points with the home team, I'll take it any day of the week. I like Chicago. Let's go on to the other game. We'll try to rip through a couple more before Carver gets there. I like Jacksonville due to the physicality, Matthias, in terms of the rushing attack. Back-to-back games now, Travis Etienne has gotten going. They rushed it for 5 yards per carry against Buffalo. The defense is forcing some turnovers. I know it's Gardner Minshew, but Indy hasn't won there since 2015. I know they're coming back from London. Can only look to Jacksonville, and you know what? I lean into the under in terms of this ball game. The other game that I like, believe all favorites, New Orleans minus the 1.5 over the 42.5 against the Texans. You like either of those games?
I can't believe you're going against the Texans after you were so confident in them last weekend in Atlanta. And now they're going home and you don't like them? I actually like the Texans in this game. I think they show up. This is another team that's young and hungry and believe in, Joe. They really are. I'm with you on the Jaguars, though. I think that the Jaguars do beat the Colts at home. This Jaguars team had a slow start, but you could tell that they're slowly coming along on offense and gaining more confidence, especially after they beat Buffalo last week and the fashion that they beat Buffalo in last week. You know, this team is coming along as well. But man, I think this Texans team is scary right now. You know, it's tough to get a read on them because they lost to Atlanta last week. So obviously everybody's going to go pound the New Orleans Saints right here. But I'm not going to measure that Saints team against a terrible New England Patriots team, Joe. I can't. That team is about to start, you know, dumping players. That team is about going into a complete rebuild. You know, so forget the Patriots. They're going to get their ass kicked against the Raiders as well this weekend. But let's just focus on the Texans and that offense and what they could possibly do at home against the Saints. You know, I think that this is an over game. I think Derek Carr finally gets going, but I think the Texans put up some points as well, Joe. It's going to be a fun game.
Interesting. Okay, we'll get to the New England game. It'll be on my card. The New Orleans game will be on my card. Quickly, I like Cincinnati over Seattle. I know the front 7 hasn't been good for the Bengals. I think this is, a spot for them to shut down Kenneth Walker. The fact that Burrow threw for over 300, completed his first 7 passes, not sold on Geno on the road. I think the defense forces turnovers, like the over 45.5, but I like Cincinnati in that ballgame. And I like the Bucs with Baker Mayfield. Won't make the card because the line went from 5.5 down down to three. But I think the Bucks are live against Detroit here. So keep an eye out for that. We'll talk about it more in next segment with Carver. Tampa Bay plus the three, Cincinnati minus the 2.5. And one more, I like the Rams minus the 7 over the Cardinals. We'll come back on Carver and Lisi, best bet time with Mikey Carver, live from Cape Cod.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's right. Feel strong? Come after me, hot shot. Come on. You went after me last week, and I'm talking to you on the celebrity guest line. You know who I'm talking about, my partner. He's live out there in Nantucket / Cape Cod. I'm sure he's all lathered up getting ready for the NFL picks. He beat me last week. I'm 11-8-1. Let's welcome in Mike Carver. How are you, Mikey?
Joe, good to be back with you as we get to the NFL side of things now. Yeah, did I beat you last week? I think that I did. I'm ahead of you by, I think, a game for the year now on the NFL side.
11-8-1, Carver. That's what I am entering week number six. 11-8-1.
Yeah, I'm 12-8. I'm 12-8 NFL. I'm 12-8.
All right. So that's not bad. Not bad. Let's get it going. All right. You want me to go first, Matthias? Crank up. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. A little snot in your nostril. This is football weather. Let's go. You know I love defense. And I love the big uglies that could shut down the run. And I'm not talking about San Francisco. I'm talking about those dogs. Georgia stepped up for me on the college side last week against Kentucky. The dog pound's going to step up, catching the 9.5 this weekend against Brock Purdy. I'm not sold on San Francisco. They're good. They're not elite. I said it. Cleveland could stop the run. P.J. Walker will not turn the football over. And old man Kareem Hunt might run for a buck 50. Give me the Browns plus the 9.5. Pick number one, NFL style.
Wow, you're going after the Niners even with P.J. Walker. You go after the Niners. Wow, Joe, stunning stuff here. I'm going to start early morning. We're back in London. That's right. Across the pond we go for another early 9:30 a.m. East kick. We have the Ravens and the Titans this time, Joe. And I got to tell you, I just don't see a lot of points in this game. 41.5 right now for the total. Game has a feel like most Raven-Titan games do of a 16-13, 20-14 type of game where it's going to be very tough. These London games usually trend to the low-scoring side also. We're going under 41.5 first pick. Ravens at the Titans Sunday morning in London.
Like it. All right. I like Ravens. I like it. I like that. I'm going to go defense. You know I've been high on C.J. Stroud. Kid's putting up and rolling sevens. All he does is score, go over his total, and the Texans are competitive. But guess what? He's a rookie, and he's going up against a veteran secondary and a veteran defensive coordinator. They dominated last week, Mac Jones, and I understand different weapons, different type of team in terms of New England. But I think that secondary could force Stroud to read a little bit of coverage. They're laying 1.5 in terms of back-to-back road games. I don't mind. It's less than a field goal. Give me the Saints. They grind out a victory yet again over the Texans on the road, laying the 1.5 with the Saints.
Pick number two for me, Joe. I'm going to go out to Cincinnati this week, where, yes, it looks like Joey Silk is back. Bengals got their mojo back, beating up on the Cardinals last Sunday. But I'm not sure they're quite there yet, Joe. I got a Seahawks team who's coming in. They're coming in off a bye, so some extra rest for them. They've moved the football a lot this year. The offense has been very good. And I think the number's a little wonky. Under three, I mean, for the mighty Cincinnati Bengals, who look like they're back, can't lay more than three at home. I don't see it, Joe. I'm on the Seahawks here, plus the 2.5. And as we always like to say, Joe, outright, I think the Seahawks win in Cincinnati on Sunday.
you're gutless going after my guy in the jungle. I tell you, I hope they kicked you in the chops. All right, I'm going out to Soldier Field. Kirk Cousins, all he does is put up stats, but his team loses. He's gutless. No Justin Jefferson. I think O'Connell sucks as a head coach. I got a quarter. That's my quarterback, Justin Fields. Back-to-back games over. What did he throw? 8 touchdowns in back-to-back games? 300-yard performances? The kid's rolling sevens. You got a Minnesota team that gave up 27 to Pat Mahomes? I know they're better against the pass, but I don't care. Guess what? Chicago is home dogs, has more to play for than the gutless Vikings. They got a quarterback that wants to win. Give me Justin Fields. Give me the Bears plus the 3. Outright.
Pick number 3 for me, Joe. I'm also going to stay there in that Bear-Viking game. I am not going to go after you as much as I want to go after you, but I am going to go with the total here. I think that there's going to be a lot of points in this game. 44 right now. I think both teams sail over this. We get ourselves into the 20s. Both defenses have been bad. Fields has given you something the last couple of weeks, which makes you think they're going to be able to score some points. Viking offense without Jefferson does worry me a little bit, but I think that they'll still be able to get it done against a pretty bad Bear D. Over 44 for me, Joe, Bears Vikings.
You know how I feel about Bill Belichick. I think he's washed up. I think the New England Patriots are a sinking ship. They go on the road to square off against Josh McDaniels, the former apprentice. He beat him last year. He's got a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that's rolling sevens. All eyes will be on Las Vegas, and you know what that means. I'm taking the dog. Somehow, some way, New England will find a way to run it. We're going to run it right on Max Crosby. We're going to run it right up Josh McDaniels' ass. We're going to win this ball game plus the 2.5 outright over the Raiders.
You know, you call me gutless. That's pretty gutless for you. I mean, you've been dragging this guy Belichick around for weeks now, and now you're going to go take him on the road out in Vegas? Come on. Come on, Joe. I mean, really, you've been dragging this old man all over the place. Now you're taking him?
Yeah, wow. Buy low opportunity. Buy low.
Buy low opportunity. Good luck with that. God bless you, Joe. You're going to go get in bed with Mac Jones. God bless you. Next, pick for number 4 for me. I don't really like taking big spreads, Joe. You know that. It's the NFL. Lots of things happen. Bad teams can cover big numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we have a different kind of a case here on Sunday night in Buffalo. You got a Bills team coming off a very tough loss in London against the Jaguars. You got the Giants without their starting quarterback, without their left tackle again. They've looked pathetic almost every single week except the second half of that Arizona game. And they're going into a primetime situation in a place where Buffalo, they like to bully teams, especially bad teams. So even though 15.5 is a very, very big number in the NFL, I think the Bills are going to win this game to the tune of 38-10, 45-13. It's probably going to get ugly early and often as Josh Allen and the Bills flex muscle and do a little bully ball on Sunday night under the lights against the G-men, Big Blue. I'm taking the Bills minus the 15.5, Joe.
Yeah, that's what you do. You beat up on somebody inferior. You're a bully. You stick your chest out. Bully ball. All right.
Bully ball.
So let's go through the picks. I'll give you my 4. I'm 11-8-1. I'm taking Cleveland plus the 9.5, New Orleans minus the 1.5, the Bears plus the 3, and the Patriots plus the 2.5.
And then I've got the over 44 in the Bear-Viking game, the Bills minus the 15.5. We have the under 41.5 in the Titans and the Ravens and the Seahawks on the road in Cincinnati, plus the 2.5, and yeah, Joe, outright.
All right, so we got about 5 minutes before break. Stay with me. Let's go through some games that I did not touch on and we didn't have in the picks. Detroit okay. And Tampa Bay. Detroit and Tampa Bay. I sort of lean to Baker. I like the identity of this team. This line jumped originally to 5.5. They now slammed it. It's 3. Still like the Tampa Bay Bucks, but because it's under 5.5, I don't love it as much, but I lean to the Buccaneers here.
Yeah, I like the Bucks a little bit more when the line was higher. Being the flat 3 now, I don't know. I do think the Bucks can win this game outright, Joe. I really do. At 3, it's probably not a game that I'm going to play, but I think the Bucks are going to give the Lions all they can handle Sunday in Tampa.
I agree. What about the Rams? I think the Arizona Cardinals are toast. It almost made a best bet with Cooper Kupp back in that lineup, Puka Nacua. You add a little Choo-Choo Atwell, Kyren Williams. I can't see Arizona without James Conner winning that game. And the coaching advantage, the way McVay took care of Steichen, I think he takes care of Gannon. I'm laying the 7 with the Rams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the wheels could come off the bus here a little bit for them. They've played really hard so far. Kind of saw it slip a little bit in the second half against Cincinnati last week. I would lean to the Rams here, Joe, if I had to go anywhere.
And here's the head scratcher of the week. Why is this jet line going down? I mean, they bought it from basically 6-7 and now 6. I can only look the Eagles. I think this is bully ball in terms of the Eagles. They've been hearing about the San Francisco 49ers all week. They're the best team. They're the best team. Back-to-back games for Jalen Hurts. I can't see Zach Wilson throwing for even 150 in this game, and Breece Hall will not have a .122 on the ground. I think it's all day Eagles, and wouldn't shock me if they put up 30 plus on that defense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know Carter's out for the Eagles now, right? I saw that late on Friday night. But still, Joe, they've still got so many other guys that they could throw at the Jets. I think the Jets are going to have a very tough time moving the football against the Eagles. I think it's going to look like, Joe, all the other Eagle games this year. I think the Eagles at times probably aren't going to be very impressive, but they're still going to cover the number. You know, they'll maybe win the game 24-10 or something like that. And, you know, maybe they won't be as explosive as they have been in years past. But I think they're going to cover that number as well, Joe.
And then the last game is in Duval County. I can only look to Jacksonville. I like the way they're playing. They're running the football better. But are you concerned with back-to-back games in London that this could affect this team? Colts haven't won there since 2015.
Yeah, the Colts do not play well ever in Jacksonville. This is whether they're good, they're bad, or whatever. And they got Minshew in there this week. The 2 weeks in London, why didn't they take their bye this week, Joe, after the 2 weeks in London? It was a little strange for me. Why did Jaguars do that? Well, now they're going to be in this spot. I think I want to take the points with the Colts here, Joe.
Really? Now, would you lean to the under or the over? I think it's going to be an ugly game. I really do. If there is jet lag, they might not be able to score a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, they got to 50, right, in week one when they played in Indy. They got up to 50.
Yeah, 52 they got to.
Probably an under for me, Joe. Probably an under.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, you know, the other game, too, is I took Carolina. I don't love it. I mean, Frank Reich, I think he could be dead man walking, too, one and done. He's another head coach that's absolutely atrocious in a big spot. Give him 25, he probably still wouldn't cover, but I'm taking him. Carver, always a pleasure, buddy. I can't wait till you come back. Have a great weekend. Right. We'll see you on Monday.
I'll see you Monday, Joe.
All right, put it with the golf. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's it. We never quit on Carver and Lisi, baby. We're rocking 24/7, and we're not going to quit until we smash your bookie or book in the face. How about that? I said it. We're wrapping up NFL action week number 7. Some great specials on FanDuel. Crazy odds. You want to take a flyer. Each team to score one rushing touchdown in the 1 o'clock games. And I understand Cleveland's in there. But it's 190-1. You want to take a shot, $10 pays $1,900. You're feeling strong, take $100, you win $19,000. Each team to score one rushing touchdown, 190-1. That's the longest odds on the board. The shortest one, each team to score one touchdown in the, each team to score one touchdown in the 1 p.m. games, plus 110. Then they have some mix and match. Here's another one, too. I saw it with Tyreek Hill. Let me just get it up for you. I might have lost it. It was Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, and somebody else to score two-plus touchdowns. Here it is. Any three, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, or Hockenson to score two-plus touchdowns, 95-1. That's juicy, too. Chase squares off against Seattle. Cooper Kupp going on against Arizona. And Tyreek Hill going up against Carolina. He's got a shot. Hockenson might struggle, but you never know against the Bears. Could be a shootout. 95-1. Why not? Give it a shot. You never know. This is what it's all about. For Mike Carver, our great producer, Matthias Perbel, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week. Let's make some money.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.